Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
I think it's the most balanced offense they've had since Josh Allen has been there. They can beat you multiple ways. This is the offense McDermott has wanted. He's wanted a more physical offense that can run the ball. That's why I say I think they know they've got to be better at that when they play the Chiefs the next time.
The bye week.
Mike Danger.
Once again, the Bills get over on the Chiefs in the regular season, so I think there's cautious optimism that in the postseason, if these two teams meet again, they can win that game. And I think Sean McDermott is beginning to believe.
Do you believe?
Gene Battaglia.
The Bills at 9-2. Kansas City at 9-1. How do you assess the race for the top seed? Getting that extra week of rest, not having to deal with a wild card round, that's a big advantage. How would you assess this race now between Buffalo and Kansas City?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
You know, we talked about it yesterday after the Bills get the win over Kansas City. Matt Parrino, the Syracuse Post-Standard, stopped by last hour. He brought it up in a tweet from Mike Golic Jr. I knew that's where I saw it in my feed, the Matrix, you know, meme. He's starting to believe. Sean McDermott actually believing and coaching with this belief that you have a weapon, an extraordinary weapon you shouldn't be afraid to deploy in Josh Allen, and it pays off. It's almost as if we're watching a coach now develop a sense of self-awareness and a different level of confidence. You can't call him conservative anymore.
No, but with that, Danger, with that, how about going to somebody that was here and then went up to the national level? Our old friend Marcel Louis-Jacques, who, by the way, we had on Dolphin Week. I love that we have this relationship with Marcel, as he's a regular now on the ESPN's Around the Horn. And well, you know, apparently Marcel listens to the Sports Bar. Yeah. The Bills win Sunday over Kansas City. And here's Marcel talking about that growth in Sean McDermott.
Statement Buffalo just made.
You know, Tony, I see too many detractors saying that this was the Bills Super Bowl. But like you said, we've seen them beat Kansas City four times now in the regular mm-hmm, season. Yeah. Like, this isn't their Super Bowl. They knew that they could do this, but it was how they did it. When you look at their losses in the playoffs, it's not a talent discrepancy. It's a game management discrepancy. And Sean McDermott looked so much more convicted last night than he has in the postseason. When you look at the final drive before the first half ended, they ran 3 minutes off the clock, kick a field goal, make sure Mahomes and Andy Reid, they have no shot at scoring before the end of the half. And then, of course, the 4th-and-2 play. I know Tyler Bass has struggled this season, but conservative Sean would have kicked that field goal. This time around, mm-hmm. he said, look, we got one of them ones, too. Josh mm-hmm. Allen is a unicorn in his own right. That play had a 1.2% chance of scoring, according to Next Gen Stats.
Ooh,
but that's the beauty of Josh Allen. When he's got the ball in his hands, you can pump those numbers up, buddy, like Matthew McConaughey in Wolf of Wall Street. Pump those up, man. I am impressed by Sean McDermott's growth after last night.
Wow. All right. So, Marcel, listening to the Sports Bar, here's the thing, Danger, and he says this again, and any Chiefs fan will wave their finger. Well, what about the postseason? I guess that's the final exam, right? that's the final exam, because do you, under the most pressure, revert to bad habits?
If you were to ask me right now, are these two teams going to find each other again in the postseason? Based on what we've seen just this last week, where the league is right now, I would say no. I would say somebody would surprise the Chiefs before the Bills could get to the Chiefs. I don't know that they're going to meet again in the postseason.
Well, let's examine that. Let's say, all right, the Chiefs, because of their schedule or whatever it is, or because the Bills might lose in Detroit, LA, whatever the combination is, like, as a one seed, you would get either the four or the best wild card. All right, who might that? Oh. Baltimore, Pittsburgh is the best wild card. I'm not talking division winner. I'm talking the best team that didn't win their division.
Yep.
Going to Kansas City is the...
If Kansas City's the one seed.
If Kansas City's the one seed. That would be... Even the Chargers as a wild card team, danger going to Kansas City.
Right. Right now, if you look at how the league is, right now, I'm not saying a lot can happen between now and January, but right now, I don't think it's a lock that the Bills and Kansas City meet in the postseason. Furthermore, like, I feel like it might be more likely that the Bills would actually have to exercise some demons against the Ravens in the postseason, more likely than the Chiefs, based on just kind of what we've seen here.
But a lot would have to kind of go wrong right now for Buffalo if they were the two seed to fall down to the three and Baltimore to rise up, right? At least you'd be getting that game in Buffalo.
Yeah, it feels as if the Bills are almost a certainty to be the one or the two. And they shouldn't dismiss Pittsburgh. They've had a great season up to this point. But I just look at that schedule and I still think, like, okay, you're a Steeler fan. You know this is true. There's going to be one in there against the Browns or something's going to happen where it's like,
Well, or can we use the same sort of logic with Mike Tomlin? They're winning games. Let's see, Thursday night, this is the perfect kind of trappy game, right?
This is the kind of game, Steelers and Browns, where the Steelers play down to their competition. And it'll drive Steeler fans crazy. And they'll be like, why aren't we throttling this Browns team? And it'll be close, and you might even lose that game. So for as good a season as it's been up to this point for the Steelers, it does feel to me like the Bills are a lock to be the one or the two. I don't know that I see a lot of movement outside of that. And with all of that being said, if Kansas City is the one or the two, I don't know that we see Kansas City in the postseason. If the Bills see Kansas City in the postseason, I think it's more likely you end up seeing a team like Baltimore, which, in my opinion, is a little bit more scary than the Chiefs. You asked Matt Parrino last hour, what's the Achilles heel of this Bills team, when you kind of look around the league, and you could say squarely at Baltimore and be like, yeah, your defense, your pass defense is last in the league. That's your weakness. For the Bills, to me, it's the physicality. It's the inconsistent physicality. They've been great the last six games, but I can't shake the image of them getting bull rushed against the Ravens in that one-sided loss.
Or Jonathan Taylor, la, 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 la,
right.
La, 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 la.
Right.
Like, right. You have Matt Milano coming back. That is a huge unknown danger. It really is. And I think Matt is spot on there. Like, okay, you're going to sprinkle him in, but by and large, his defense has exceeded expectations.
Yes, really, I think so. And I would also say, you know, let's see what the health situation of this team is as well, because we could sit here and say they're getting healthier. Well, injuries happen week in and week out, and you might get healthier in one spot, but then down the stretch, more guys fall off. The offensive line is something that I'm always knocking on wood over, because they've been so consistent for so long now, and even when Vandermark is in there, it's like, okay, you didn't really miss a beat, but how much will that affect them down the road? How healthy can they stay down the road as well? I think that's also a factor. And I also think you should buckle up and brace yourself here. We discussed this with Parrino last hour, that this is going to be a slog week in and week out. Get ready to fight with Raven fans and Lamar Jackson supporters on debating the merits of the NFL's MVP. Because with the Bills' win over the Chiefs on Sunday, Josh Allen vaulted himself to the favorite for the award. And it's not really something that supporters of Lamar Jackson like to see. And when I look at the numbers, I get their gripe, because statistically, Jackson is better than Allen in many key categories. Statistically, includes completion percentage, passing yards, touchdowns, rushing yards. Allen has more rushing TDs, And that's really about it. Meanwhile, in the NFC, the guy that could sneak in and make the debate irrelevant is Jared Goff. Imagine the Lions going 16-1 or 15-2, and they're the one seed in the NFC with around 35 points per game scored. Week 15 against the Bills could be more than a Super Bowl preview. Could also decide the league MVP.
It's really kind of a shame that the MVP has come down to just strictly the quarterbacks. Because, yes, what you said is all true. But let me point out something as well. What about Saquon Barkley? Like, what has he meant for that Eagle team? Like, he's had a ton of touchdowns siphoned off at the goal line here, which by their quarterback, which from a fantasy standpoint, that drives you nuts. He's already over 1,100 yards. The 1,000-yard mark doesn't mean anything. But in terms of a player moving from Team A to Team B, like, who would be the MVP if we just kind of eliminated all quarterbacks? Would it be Barkley?
Could make a case for Derrick Henry.
11 straight games with a touchdown. Well, with that, then, so why does Lamar get the credit if you can make a case for Henry?
Yeah, again, I with Lamar, statistically, it's a little eye-popping. He's having a good season statistically. The team isn't doing what the Bills have done. Their resume isn't as clean. Wins, I do think, matter. You could say, oh, wins.
Oh, they are you kidding me? That's right up at the top.
Wins aren't a quarterback stat, Gene. But
they are.
They may not be a quarterback stat, but winning is the minimum, albeit high standard. Quarterback wins are everything. They're everything. So it might come down to that game against the Lions when you're trying to decide who the more worthy MVP candidate is down the stretch.
Yeah. The other thing that's working against Josh Allen, too, if you trip up and we get to the final 2 weeks and you can't catch the Chiefs. I mean, this could be the season. It's been a few years where, all right, the Bills are locked in as the 2 seed. All right, week 18, it's Mitchell Trubisky in Foxborough, or who knows? It could even be week 17 at that point. Mm-hmm. So I could see a scenario where, all right, that's not going to help your quarterback if you're kind of not playing those last two games and, you know, when you're measuring stats and whatnot.
We welcome you into the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us and listening along. Appreciate it here locally at 95.7 FM, AM 950. You can hear us where we sound our best. The free-to-download Odyssey app or your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. We've got our stream up and rolling. Check out our YouTube channel. Like, subscribe. Don't forget to click that little bell icon and get notified whenever we go live and leave a comment as well. You could put some wind in the sails. Also streaming on Twitch at The Fan Rochester. And you can get us on Elon's Twitter. That's X at The Fan Rochester as well. Coming up on Friday, it's another Friday Football Talk Live at Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue.
It's the Friday before Thanksgiving, not Black Friday. So start your holiday week with us. We will be out there, and we're also partnering with the Rochester Nighthawks, they're having the re-release of their Hazy IPA, and I've heard some of the names that are going to be coming here at Danger, so players are going to be in attendance. So if you're a Nighthawk fan, what other sport can you actually kind of have a cold one right then and there with the players? So
it's pretty cool.
It was a fun time last year, and you and I are not going to be running out to call a high school game or anything like that at 6 o'clock. So we will have a cold one with you. Come on out to Three Heads, as some of these other beers we're going to be sampling too should be fantastic.
Yeah, the re-release of the Nighthawk Hazy IPA. Join us on Friday to grab a pint and look for it at the Blue Cross Arena for all events and in stores on tap as well. Meet up with Nighthawk players. They'll be there from 5 until 6. Freddy's ROC, serving up some delicious wood-fired pizza as well, will be at Three Heads Brewing, Atlantic Avenue, in the neighborhood of the arts, Friday Football Talk Live. That's 3 to 6 this coming Friday. We'll start the holiday season officially here on The Fan.
We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
Yeah, as here in Dan Coates, maybe some other players locally will be showing up. So it is going to be a great, great time. And you know what? Bills won this week. You already won. It's a bye week. You can kind of relax and we can kind of just enjoy. I mean, if you're looking at that schedule too, on Sunday, Danger? Is there a game that you will be paying attention to? Certainly one I'm going to be paying attention to. Just, you know, grab your popcorn. It's the one in late afternoon window. 49ers and Packers. I mean, I haven't had a chance really to watch a Packer game front to back. I know you did last week, but, you know, the next opponent for the Buffalo Bills we'll all be able to scout, because if this were another week, we'd be, you know, if the 49ers are playing this week, we'd be kind of discussing, hey, what's wrong with this team? What's going on? And we'll come to some conclusions. I kind of want to just watch the Niners, too, and see what they're all about.
Yeah, here's what I think will happen. I think the Niners will go into Lambeau, and they'll beat Green Bay. And they'll make us all wonder, like, oh, boy, what Niners team are we getting? Are we getting the Niners team that choked against Seattle, or the Niners team that went into Lambeau and beat Green Bay? And I'll tell you, Green Bay didn't look good against the Bears. Green Bay can be had. They're inconsistent. Jordan Love has been inconsistent. Red zone turnovers can't happen.
I think he's kind of banged up here at this point.
Can't happen. So that one's that's an interesting one to me. Eagles Rams, the Sunday night game, is an interesting one to me as well. Mm. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. And I want to see what Anthony Richardson looks like again against the Detroit Lions. Will the Lions defense exploit that quarterback and continue their role? Or will Richardson, because the Lions are going to be an interesting team to watch here down the stretch. Obviously, everybody has them as their favorite in the NFC. And they looked really, really good against a really, really bad team that's quit on their coach.
The Chiefs in Carolina. Any hope for the big, big upset? Chiefs are favored by 11. Secondary ticket price kind of indicates to me that Charlotte's going to be descended upon by Chief fans.
Oh, probably. For sure. Yeah. Good opportunity to see your favorite team outside of Arrowhead. We'll get into some of these Week 12 lines with PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. He joins us every Wednesday at 3:25.
I like Baltimore and against the Chargers on Monday. EJ.
Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Let's get to Mike Leone, head coach of the Rochester Americans. Team is on the road, traveling to Laval with the Rocket on tap. We'll get a recap from coach and some new additions and a couple of subtractions to talk about as well, as far as his roster is concerned. We talk some Amherst hockey next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Fan, Rochester Sports Update.
Well, this just in, the Boston Bruins firing their head coach, Jim Montgomery. He's not the only coach to get let go today, or the only executive, I should say. GM Joe Douglas let go by the New York Jets. Phil Savage, the former Browns GM, taking over on an interim basis. As for the Buffalo Bills, sitting pretty at 9-2, head coach Sean McDermott on what is after the bye.
A little bit of it is rest. I think a little bit of it is, you know, having a chance to do some self-scouting and evaluation of what we do and how we do things, and fundamentals as well. I think the other part is, you know, making sure, you know, we put together a good game plan for when the players return as well.
Amherst hockey tomorrow night playing at Laval. We'll talk to head coach Michael Leone coming up next year in the Sports Bar. Longtime St. John Fisher football coach Paul Vosburgh announcing his retirement. Gene Battaglia on the Sports Leader, The Fan, Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Always a treat when we can get caught up with Rochester Americans head coach Michael Leone. His team on the way to Laval right now for a matchup against the Rocket. That's coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. You'll be able to hear the action on your proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey, 95.7 The Fan. Coach, good to have you on with us. How's the road treating you, and how are the boys holding up?
Well, the coaches are on one bus. They have their own bus. We actually have two buses. So it's been a long ride, about a six-hour ride. We got about 45 minutes to go. So go have a nice dinner tonight and get ready for tomorrow.
Coach, you pick up half the points that were available. Both taking teams, but is it a are you a glass half full, glass half empty guy when you're looking at the past weekend here?
Yeah, I think when you look at even going back to last Wednesday, they're the top two teams in our division. We went to overtime one game. The second game was a 2-1, two empty netters, and we went to overtime. Again, I actually thought we played really well. We could easily, if you find a way to win in overtime both those games, you're 2-1 in the week, and instead of 0-1-2. But I thought we played well, and if we keep playing like we have been, especially away from the puck, we're going to win a lot more games. I think it's when you play really good teams like that, the margin for error is really small. And we didn't score a power play goal. I think that hurt us a bit in the momentum. But overall, I really liked our game. We weren't on the right side of it, but we played well.
Michael Leone, Rochester Americans head coach, joining us in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Coach, last week, I'm sure you talked about this with Gene and with Timmy. I'm curious to see if we can get an update on your goaltender, Felix Sandstrom, from that hit against Hartford from a couple of Friday nights ago now.
Yeah. He's healthy. He actually played in Toronto on Sunday. He played really well, gave up two goals. One was in overtime, and had a really, really good game with us. So he's back healthy.
So how do you manage this now? It's a good problem to have. Devin Levi, I would assume Devin Levi goes in between the pipes tomorrow night, correctly? Correct, Coach?
Yep, he'll be in that tomorrow.
So how do you manage this now with Hauser and also with Sandstrom?
I think it's one of those situations where I think reevaluate after the weekend. All three goalies have done a really good job for us. House is under the weather right now. He actually has a kind of like a bug going around, so he won't be with us on this trip. But I think we'll have a better feel and understanding after the weekend.
When you have, when you get to this point of the season, you have some injuries up with Buffalo. The call-ups are an inevitability, and you kind of knew that this was how it was going to be if you're going to be the coach of an AHL team. So, how are you prepared here to deal with the absences of a Kulik and a Rosane since they got the call up to Buffalo, Coach?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where we have really, really good depth, and I think it's a next man up mentality, and just everybody has to be ready to go to play the game. It happens to every team in the league where you're going to have guys getting called up and down. And my first time going through it, it is pretty crazy. But yeah, we believe in our group and the guys that we have. And I've been really proud of the guys the way the first, 15 games we've had a chance to win. 14 of them, the one game in Wilkes got away from us, but we've been doing a really good job playing consistent winning hockey.
What is your message to Devin Levi, a player that maybe he thought his time in Rochester was up, but circumstance, he wasn't getting the ice time up in Buffalo, so how do you view this situation? I would think that maybe play so well here make it difficult to keep him down here.
Yeah, I think it's just important for Devin that you have to be where your feet are. It's that's how you respond to it. I think he's really being around him the last talked to him yesterday on the phone, and then him coming into practice. I think he's really excited to be here. You could see it in you know, just how he interacts with the players, and I think he's just really excited to play. He had a really good day at practice, and you know, there's two ways you handle it. You know, you could feel sorry for yourself or respond and do the best you can to help us win hockey games, and I think that's his mentality.
Coach, it's your third time facing Laval in the last four games here, so you're getting familiar with the Rocket. I know that you and your team aren't going to look beyond tomorrow night's game, but we look at the calendar and we look at you coming back home this weekend, Friday. Ooh, Friday, it is the hated Hershey Bears, so I'm just curious as to what you know about your opponent here this weekend, and we're familiar with Utica, obviously, from the games that we've seen of them so far this season as well.
Yeah, no, they're really, obviously, they're what they've done the last couple of years speaks for itself. They're a really good team. They defend really well. They have a lot of older veteran players that are really good players and have played a lot of pro hockey. They have a really good goalie. It's there's a reason why they are where they are, and it'll be a really good test for our group, and we're excited about the week ahead of us.
6 hours on a bus is not fun, Coach. When you were in juniors, what was your longest trip?
13. Oh.
13. Well, then this is a walk in the park for you. This is no big deal.
Yeah, this is not too bad. And we always we leave the day before, so which is nice. Before we left the day of game a lot of times, not for the 13-hour one, but most of the time we're leaving the day of the game.
What's the menu for tonight? You're talking about getting a good meal before you have the game tomorrow night.
You know what? I'm not sure where we're going, but I'm sure it'll be a good one. Anthony Gady, our hockey ops guy, does a really good job of finding places to go, so I'm sure he'll have a good one.
Friday night, that is going to be a blast. So we're going to be out with the Nighthawks, Coach. We're doing a live show at Three Heads Brewing. But for anybody that wants to get a head start and then go there and then head on over to the Amherst afterward, that's going to be a fantastic evening of hockey taking on those Hershey Bears.
Yeah, no, it'll be really exciting for a group. It's a lot of respect for their team and their staff and you know, like I said, they're what they've done is it's really hard to do at the professional level. So I think we're excited, not just tomorrow night's game, but excited to compete against a really good opponent Friday night as well.
Are you a believer in measuring stick games?
Yeah, I am. I think we looked at this, you know, this last week of to see where our group was at. And I thought, you know, we did a lot of good things. Like I said, we weren't on the right side of it, but I think it was a good learning experience, too, for a group of playing in those games where you're going to play in a lot of tight games against really good teams. And I think it was really good for us.
Well, good luck tomorrow night against Laval. I'm not sure if it's Don or Andrew on the call, but we'll have the game tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Coach, thanks for your time. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. There he is, head coach Mike Leone, the Rochester Americans. Yeah, Laval, three out of the last four games, and you've got them again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock from Laval. You'll be able to hear that action on the Fan Rochester with our coverage here in every game on the Fan Rochester, your home of Rochester Americans hockey.
Let me tell me which of these is not like the other. Ready? Okay, wins here in the North Division. Laval is first with 12. Talking just regulation, right? Cleveland with 10, Toronto with 8, Syracuse with 7, Rochester with 7, Belleville with 6, Utica with 0.
Yeah.
0-10-1. Didn't want to put him on the spot, right? But Saturday, got to win that.
Yeah.
You don't want to give those Jamos their first win
that's
of the
right.
season.
That's right. And for what it's worth, Hershey's a measuring stick. If that's the cream of the league, let's see how you stack up against them. I would imagine that Friday night is going to be a lot of fun at Blue Cross Arena with Hershey coming in and the opportunity to see how these Amherst measure up to a really, really good, consistent program.
Love the fact that two Friday nights ago, that Hartford game, 9,000 came out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so like, can you get close to that these next two games?
Hey, I'm telling you, man, going downtown and going to the arena, whether you're going to Sebastian Maniscalco, an Amherst game, a Nighthawks game, it's one of the few times where you can walk around Rochester and it feels like you're in a major league city. It feels like you're downtown Chicago, downtown Detroit, downtown Cleveland, whatever it is. Take advantage of it, man. Don't take it for granted. We have some great entertainment happening, whether you're into the Nighthawks, whether you're into the Amherst. And I would say the same thing about, you know, Innovative Field in the summertime. It's kind of cool that we have, yes, we're a minor league town, but don't let that deter you from going out and enjoying some sports entertainment. It's a good time.
You got to play Devin Levi Friday night, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting thing to monitor here, how they manage through the three goaltender situation.
Oh, I think it's easy. I'm sorry to Michael Hauser, but you got to go to Jacksonville. No, but, I'm being honest. It's like that's the only way out.
The only thing I would say to that is there a value to having that veteran guy around Levi? Is there something to having the old guy mentoring the young guy?
Who's the better at that? Is it Sandstrom or... Are you I don't know if you're releasing Sandstrom.
These are the decisions up to the staff, obviously. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that all shakes out. And seeing Devin Levi back at the AHL level, he just needs the reps, man. Just get him the reps. Let him get peppered. Let him make the saves that he can make here. Because at the NHL level, it felt like this year he was overwhelmed. It just felt like it was a little too big for him. Not to say that he's never going back up. I think he will. I think he'll be just fine for the organization. But now, when you need him on the ice to get better, this is the move. And boy, if he's out there Friday night against Hershey, again, another great test. Amherst hockey here on the Fan Rochester against Laval tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And every game here on your home for Rochester Americans hockey, 95.7 The Fan.
Yeah. Danger, we did have mentioned this in the update before we get to Michael F. Flory, a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news in the sports bar.
Ow! 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 It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far.
I compare the Sabres to all other organizations like last year where you could see, ooh, this wasn't right. Oh, but we really liked Don Granato. And then it's too late now. And then you end up making the move at the end of the year. They don't wait in Boston. Jim Montgomery, he's out. Assistant coach Joe Sacco taking over the Boston Bruins.
You know, the word on the street is that Sacco is looking for redemption. I think his last head coaching opportunity was in Denver a while ago. Mm-hmm. And with Montgomery, man, it feels like the Bruins just kind of, like his message just kind of wore thin, that they were just done with him. Not a great start for Boston, certainly below expectation.
Yeah, the Bruins, 31st in goals allowed a game, 32nd on the power play, 25th on the penalty kill. This is Boston?
That's right. That's right. Hey.
Taking the most penalties in the league?
Take advantage. If you're the Sabres, try to take advantage. I mean, there's a handful of teams in the East that have been constants through the drought era here for the Sabres. And if one of them slips or a couple of them slip, you have to take advantage. Don't let another team rise up and take that slot away from you.
It was Jeremy and Joe, WGR, that had this stat. And it's mind-blowing. Since 2017, Danger. Now, you got to push the COVID year aside where everybody but the Sabres made the postseason. In that division, it's been the same teams every single year making the postseason. It's Boston, it's Toronto, it's Florida, and it's also Tampa Bay. And put them in one order and not making it in, Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo. Thanks for coming.
Gross.
There's no parity.
Need to shake it up a little bit. Let's get to Michael F. Florio from NFL Network. We'll set your Week 12 fantasy football lineups. We'll talk that Week 12 waiver wire as well. I want to get his take on MVS in New Orleans. Gino, you brought that up. I think that's something interesting to discuss with F. And I also think there's something about the sabotage drop at this point of the season. We'll explain what that is.
Yeah, what is the sabotage
with
drop?
Michael F. Florio from NFL Network next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Odyssey is your home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to the sports leader, The Fan Rochester.
All right, it's time to set your Week 12 waivers. You know, make your claims for your fantasy football team. Get a win in Week 12, which gets underway on Thursday, Michael F. Florio, NFL Network.
Bills fans.
Stopping by the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. 9-2 heading into the bye. We're feeling good about that, Mike. I wanted to run a concept by you that you've probably heard before. I've heard it, you know, for years now, and I just think it's hilarious because we've come to the time of year where the sabotage drop may be in play. Tell everybody what the sabotage drop is, the players that you think in 2024 would fit the definition of a sabotage drop.
So you're talking about someone that you drop so that someone else in your league could pick up and go on a run?
Somebody else will pick up, and they'll have to deal with the headache that is Jalen Waddle, as an example.
Oh, yes, that is a Jalen Waddle, Deontay Johnson, Michael Pittman Jr., Nick Chubb, all of these big-name players who you see the name and you're like, oh, this guy must be a stud, or you just think back to when they were a stud. Like, names are not what we want in fantasy football. We want production. But it's a lot like Patrick Mahomes early in the season, right? Like, everyone was like, he's Patrick Mahomes, I got to start him. But he was giving you, like, Gardner Minshew-type fantasy numbers. So those are the perfect sabotage players, the ones you want to drop, the big names that someone will be like, why is Jalen Waddle on waivers? And then they add him and they get 6 points and they're like, that's exactly why he was on waiver wire.
And so, Mike, one player that probably is unavailable, but is this guy real or not? I don't think you would want him in a PPR league, but we saw him up close and personal here in Rochester, that being MVS. It was one practice, Danger, and I'm like, oh, that's why Marquez Valdez-Scantling is still in this league. He got right behind the Bills' defense. It didn't work out in Buffalo, but here he is. Last two games, 3 touchdowns, all on long plays for the Saints. Is this a worthy pickup, or was that just kind of the flash in the pan? You don't want to be chasing something here.
No, I think he is worth picking up, and you could potentially sneak one by this week because they're on bye this week, the Saints. So when you go to your waiver wire list, he's not going to be one of the top names because they're usually sorted by projections for that week or points scored on the year. So you might be able to get him for cheaper than you anticipate. But I do think he's worth picking up because, to me, he is the new Rashid Shaheed in that Saints offense. And if you remember to what Rashid Shaheed has been this year and last year with Derek Carr, very boomer bust. The floor is like 2-3 fantasy points, but the ceiling is high enough where it could win you the week. So especially if you're one of these teams dealing with injuries or heading into the play, like as we get closer and closer to the playoffs, if you're one of the underdogs in your league, he is the type of player that you could throw in your flex. And yeah, potentially you might not get any points, but if he hits, he's going to give you something like 20, 25 points. That is a league-altering type performance. So I wouldn't say just pick him up and straight start him over all your wide receivers. But if you've been struggling with flex spot or something like that all year, he is the type of player that I like because the floor might be what you've already kind of been getting from that spot, but the ceiling is the type of performance that could win you a week.
F, we'll get to week 12 starting Thursday with the Browns hosting the Steelers, and I wanted to get your preview of this game because I feel like it's the kind of game that you see the Steelers, especially after a big win against Baltimore, kind of play down to the level of their competition. Could this be a little bit closer, more competitive, and maybe more fruitful for fantasy purposes on Thursday?
It definitely can be closer and more competitive because not only did you say like short week and coming off of a big upset win for the Steelers, but these are two teams that know each other extremely well. They are two teams that have a lot of talent on defense, even if the Browns haven't played like it all year. So for fantasy purposes, from the Steelers, George Pickens is a must-start option right now. Najee Harris is in play with 6 teams on bye and given the matchup. Outside of those two, you're getting to more fringe options, I would say, on the Steelers. Like, I would try to get away from Russell Wilson potentially this week. And then on the Browns side, I don't love Jameis Winston because of the matchup. I think there's other quarterbacks that I like to stream more this week than he does than Jameis Winston. But Winston has elevated all of those Browns pass catchers. They're all averaging around 10 targets per game since he has become the starter. We've seen Cedric Tillman go off. We've seen Jerry Jeudy go off. And we've seen Elijah Moore be a safe option. So those three are definitely in play as bye week replacements or injury replacements, something along those lines. I'm going to avoid Nick Chubb, but I do think David Njoku is in play as well.
All right, good. You brought up Njoku. That's where I was going to go with you next, because it feels like Njoku, since coming back from his injury and now with Jameis, has kind of elevated himself into the upper tier there of tight ends in fantasy.
Yeah, he is awesome, and he was someone that I loved last season. I really liked taking him in drafts this year, because when you watch him play or you look at his stats, either way, he jumps out as, like, this guy is a really good tight end at the NFL level. It turns out all he needs is a competent quarterback, which Jameis Winston is and Deshaun Watson wasn't. So if you have David Njoku, and I know some people were even able to get him off the waiver wire because, like you said, slow starts and some injuries. But if you have Njoku, he's pretty much reaching that. You just set him, start him each week and don't even think twice about it.
Michael F. Florio, NFL Network fantasy expert, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Gross football last night we had to watch. We're just, all right, for the Cowboys, do we remember this game for the sheet metal? Do we remember it for the double fumble? Next Monday night, we get a decent matchup. We get the Ravens and the Chargers, and we look at the Ravens, and okay, they have a weakness. That's their secondary is not very good. They give up yards. But my question is, if I'm looking at the waiver wire, let me run two names past you, and just if you need a spot start with all these players on bye this week, Quentin Johnson of the Chargers, or look, I forgot Will Dissly is now with the Chargers, and he's put up some numbers here in recent weeks. What's your advice about this matchup, Michael?
I think both of those guys are in play as streaming options this week. I think Ladd McConkey is a strong start. Justin Herbert is a strong start for exactly the reason you said. The Ravens' weakness is their secondary, and especially with wide receivers. They've allowed the most yards, touchdowns, fantasy points to the wide receiver position this year. Last week, Ladd McConkey had a career game. But what goes under the radar, Quentin Johnston, who has been playing great as of late, they both had a 32% first read share. And the week prior to that, Will Dissly was third in the NFL in first read share. So those three have been heavily involved for the passing attack. And the Ravens have struggled against receivers and tight ends. So, like, you're not starting Will Dissly over, like, Brock Bowers or something like that. But if you need a streaming tight end, and with six teams on bye and the state of the tight end position, he is one I like a lot this week. And if you need a streaming wide, like, I don't even think Quentin Johnston is a streaming option. I think he should be viewed higher than that. But I say that as someone who liked him as a prospect coming out of college and not as one of these people who are online doubting every touchdown he scores, because there is a big hive of people who are anti-Quentin Johnston right now.
Mike, what about the Broncos? They keep winning games. And if you're trying, I guess good luck if you're trying to figure out who Sean Payton sees as the hot hand in that backfield. Is there any production to be found out of the three-headed backfield of the Denver Broncos?
If I had to take a shot on one, I would go with Javonte Williams, because I know 2 weeks ago he kind of disappeared, but outside of that game, he has largely been the lead runner for them, and he is the one that Sean Payton seems to trust the most in the passing game. But I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, it's figuring out who Sean Payton trusts each week is a game that I'm not interested in playing. He said for weeks he was going to get Audric Estime more involved. Then he finally gives him a bunch of touches. Estime looks pretty good. And then last week, his volume was not great, but it was even worse than it appears, because most of his touches came in the second half of a game where they were leading comfortably. So I don't know if you could trust them. I'm trying my hardest to wash my hands clean of that backfield. To me, with the Broncos, Bo Nix, Cortland Sutton, those, and the defense, those are the ones you could start and with confidence.
We saw one of the unexpected things. I guess we shouldn't say unexpected. It's the Jets after all. But the Colts going in and picking up the W. And you have Anthony Richardson redeeming himself a little bit. Well, now they get Detroit at home. So, I mean, from the Colts standpoint, you're playing Jonathan Taylor, but is there something to be said for, well, you know, Detroit's going to put up points, ergo Indianapolis has to move that football and point, or is this just a matchup you, from a Colts standpoint, you want to stay away from altogether, Michael?
For me, it's more of that, because I think Josh Downs is in play. He has seen enough volume weekly and been productive enough where I think you could start him. But, yeah, Michael Pittman, I'm done with. Alec Pierce. And Anthony Richardson is the one that's interesting this week because we saw the upside. He, even when he was playing poorly, this was the upside that he brings and that we know that he has, and we're finally seeing it. But that being said, one game doesn't take away from the fact that the floor still is very low. And while the Lions, like you said, they're always winning by so much, so they have allowed a lot of passing yards. They're tied with the Bears for fewest passing touchdowns allowed in the NFL this year. They're tough against the run. They're tough on screen passes. So because of that, paired with how the floor is with Anthony Richardson, I ideally would try to get away. But I think a lot of people are going to see what he did last week and see the Lions matchup and be like, oh, this is a week to start him. It kind of feels like a trap to me, though.
Michael, I know that from the preseason, from draft season, you and I were simpatico in our love for one Isaiah Pacheco, and to see Pacheco go down to that injury earlier this season, but to hear that he could be back in time for this tasty matchup in Carolina this weekend, what are we hearing about Pacheco's return? And if he is playing, are you willing to take the shot and give him a start in that backfield?
I am. It seems like he has a good chance to return this week. They said they got to see how he looks in practice, but every report is that, or was coming into this week, was that like this is the week he's going to return. I am expecting it to be more of a split because Kareem Hunt has been serviceable. Like, he's not explosive or anything, but he's been effective for the Chiefs. So I would anticipate it looking something like a split, maybe even 60-40 Kareem Hunt side, but I'm still going to guess like closer to 50-50, something like that. But like you said, the best possible matchup a running back could have against the Panthers. This is a game where the Chiefs could be leading by numerous scores, which means they could run the ball even more than they usually do, which is already at a very high rate. So because of the matchup, I think both Pacheco and Kareem Hunt are in play. I value them more as like RB2s, and even Pacheco maybe in the flex range because we're not sure of his workload. But unless we hear like, oh, he's on a snap count, he's only going to get like 15 snaps, 20 snaps, something like that, I think he's in play this week.
All right, one more waiver question I got to ask for you because count me in this group here. And you mentioned, and this brings the interview full circle because we asked you about MVS. There's another guy in that Saints offense because how many times have I had Taysom Hill on the bench? Explosion! There he goes! Oh, and then they put him in the next week and he gets one carry for 2 yards. What's your advice with Taysom Hill? Because I would imagine he's available in a lot of leagues, Michael.
It's exactly what you just said. You pick him up, but understand that that is what Taysom Hill is. Like, he had a stretch at the end of last season where it was like 4 or 5 weeks in a row he had scored double figures, and a couple of them were over 20, and it was like, all right, he has finally reached the point where we could trust Taysom Hill, and then he put up like 0 points the next week. And that's, it's going to drive you mad, but the usage is simply too good to get away from. 3 rushing touchdowns last week, but even bigger than that, 10 targets, 8 catches. They are using him as a tight end at time. They are letting him pass the ball. They're really using him in the passing game as an extension of the run game. He is their short yards runner. So the upside is too high at the thinnest position in the game that I do believe you want Taysom Hill, especially if you've been playing the streaming game week to week or something like that at tight end, because then you could plug him in. And yeah, the floor might be low, but there's no tight end on the waiver wire that bring a higher ceiling than Taysom Hill. So the way he was used, he's not, look, that's his career game. You're not going to get that again, 41.5 points. But we've seen a lot of big days out of Taysom Hill, so he is definitely someone I'm interested in picking up this week.
Mike, when can we check you out on NFL Network this week? What do you got cooking?
Yeah, I'll be on Fantasy Live the rest of the week, especially tomorrow, big day on the show, having some fun with Tommy DeVito being back.
Hey!
Insiders. Yeah, Insiders, rotoballer.com, Florio's Football Show podcast. Pretty, and if you want it all in one place, Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, at Michael F. Florio.
We got to get you up here for January, Michael. Bills playoff football. What do you think? We got to get your credential. You know, you can hang out Buffalo.
Works for NFL Network and get his own damn credential. Florio, I want a credential from you when you come to Buffalo. Can you make that happen for me?
I have no idea. I've yet to be there, but I would try. Look, I was trying so hard not to get sucked into if we beat the Chiefs in the regular season, it means we could beat them in the playoffs. But, like, the way they beat them, is very different than any time that we've beaten them in the past. So I'm starting to get sucked in a little bit, and I'm fearful of that.
No, it's what we've been discussing. Sean McDermott, you know, delivering with a – he grew. Like, would you not say, like, in years past, does he go for it on fourth and two, or is he sending out the field goal unit there, Michael?
He's sending out the field goal unit, going up five. And the thing is, if that's how they won, like, they go up five, they hold the Chiefs, I would not feel as confident as I did right now. It's the fact that they took it from them, they made a statement, they beat them by two scores. First team to score 30 against them in 2 years, could dominate the time of possession, dominated, won the penalty battle, won the turnover, outran them, outpassed them, like, shut down Travis Kelce. He was nowhere to be found. He was on a milk carton. Like, it's just different than past wins against the Chiefs. So, naturally, I'm doing what I told myself not to do, and I'm getting sucked in.
Mike, it's great hearing your voice, man. Let's do it again next week, and enjoy the rest of your week.
Likewise, and go Bills.
Thank you, Michael.
Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, talking some fantasy football, getting those Week 12 waiver claims set to get you a win this weekend. Shall we play who's hot and who's cold in fantasy football, Gino?
Oh, yeah. Like, who's hot and who's cold in fantasy football? How about MVS?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that? Three catches for touchdowns that went for long, and maybe you can pick him up and put him on the end. And who's cold? I'm going to go with the guy that we were excited about, but now ice cold. You can't pick him up. You can't play him. Audric Estime of the Denver Broncos. No touches in that first half.
Yeah, like we were talking with Florio just now. I mean, good luck trying to decide who the hot hand is going to be in that offense. If you're trying to live inside of Sean Payton's brain and to pick his brain, I wish you best of luck in that in Denver. Who's hot, who's cold in fantasy football? It's brought to you by Airquip Heating and Air Conditioning. It's fun and challenging to know when to start a player that's heating up or bench one who's cooling off. It's not fun to be too cold or too hot in your home or business. Make the best lineup call you can and call Airquip today.
Yeah, we've got Happy Hour coming up next. Are we having a special guest in Happy Hour?
It's a very special anniversary in the sports bar, and we'll explain why. And the New York Jets continue to be the New York Jets. They've fired their GM. He's going to be fine. Will the team be fine? We'll get into all of that with Happy Hour next, and we have time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool. That number is 585-8664-FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.